We'll turn our attention this evening to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. We'll look at verses 22 to 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are God who loves to bless your people. Thank you that we see here that you're the God who initiates blessing. It isn't simply others coming and begging a blessing from you, but you are a God who delights to bless your people. And in fact, you even give the words and you give the blessing. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that as we consider these things this evening, you would move our hearts at the privilege we have to serve a God like this who delights to bless his people. Help us to understand what this blessing means for us and what it calls forth from us. Lord, would you please be with us? Help us to be able to rejoice in the blessings you've provided in Christ. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are used to reading these verses or hearing these verses at the end of a service. Spoiler alert, we will hear them at the end of this service as well. But we're focusing on them here this evening. And I hope you can see how this goes along with our morning passage. In the morning, we looked at a wonderful benediction of Paul's, a benediction that is calling for peace upon God's people, but also challenging the people. Remember, grace be with all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Because we read that, our hearts are to say, Lord, I want to love with that kind of love. We recognize that the root of the blessing is God's wonderful promise. He calls for our love and he gives it. But we see a benediction here in Numbers. I'm sure there were many blessings that the priests gave to God's people. Maybe in an individual way, as they're interacting with someone and they would bless as someone in the name of the Lord. But this blessing is particularly special. It's dictated by God. God comes to his people, his priests, and says, "You priests, bless my people with these words." Now, I want us to think about three things as we look at these. The first one I want us to think about is this. This is a blessing that comes with expectations. I'm not sure if we would immediately see that if we're just looking at the words, especially of, you know, the part we'd usually use as a benediction. We hear that in the benediction we looked at this morning, but we see it, I think, especially in the final verse, the one that we don't normally quote as the benediction. Look at that final verse, verse 27. "So shall they," that's the priests, "put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." So we read through the blessing. There's a repetition of the name of the Lord. The Lord bless, the Lord make, the Lord lift up. And I think God is seeing that as putting his name upon the people of Israel. Now they are the people of Israel. They have Israel's name upon them, but in a real way, God sees them as having his name upon them. If you pay attention to that kind of idea, that theme, the people bear the name of God, it makes sense of his indignation at their sin. Remember, he doesn't just say, you know, it's really annoying that these, you know, those folks out there are sinning. No, he's indignant because those folks bear his name. They represent him. I think if you have children, you can probably have some sense of that. You might be able to look at some kids who are misbehaving, you know, as you drive by, you know, they're in the park or something, they're doing something they shouldn't. And you might think, man, they shouldn't be doing that. But if you're driving by the park and you see them misbehaving and then you look a little closer and one of them's yours, you don't just keep driving, probably. There's something to the fact that they bear your name. They're a reflection of you in some way. You have taken upon yourself a particular responsibility for them. Heard of families that really, you know, play up that theme of, you know, remembering your name. Remember, you know, your last name and live up to that in some way. It puts some obligation on you. You're mine, God is saying to these people. And I want us to recognize first what a blessing that would be. The people of Israel, this people who, you know, the time we're reading these kinds of things have been enslaved in Egypt. A nothing people. People who are kind of faintly remembering that their ancestors in some way had a connection to this God. And then that God is showing up and saying, you are mine. There's a wonderful comfort to that. There's also a real conviction to that. God is saying, you're mine, and that entails following my commands. God didn't really get all that indignant, it seems, with the Assyrians for worshiping the Assyrian gods. I mean, they're worshiping idols is bad, and God will judge them for that, but he doesn't seem to have the same indignation he feels when he discovers his people worshiping idols. He's saying, you're the ones who bear my name. You're mine. You're called to honor that name that you bear. So we see, even in that blessing, the expectations that come with being the people of God. But if we're looking at this blessing, I don't know that it's expectations that come out to us first or strike us first. First thing we see here is the generosity of God. So we see that those blessings come with expectations. We also see that the blessings come from God. God speaks to Moses. He tells him to instruct Aaron so that the priests will bless the people. But the priests don't stand up before all the people of God and say, we bless you. We're the ones who are coming. They're blessing in the name of God, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. You remember how significant that name was. See it in your Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the name of God revealed to Moses. People of Israel were trained to treat that name with such respect, and in his own name, he is blessing his people. Bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you. A wonderful picture of the favor of God, of his goodwill toward his people. God's face is turned to them in love, friendliness. Remember, even Moses couldn't see the face of God and live. But here, God's face is turned toward his people as an assurance of his friendship. Imagine you've had some situation where you've had a conflict with someone. Maybe it's a close friend or someone else. Maybe you both feel wronged and you're in the midst of that conflict. And you almost feel like you can't even look at the person. I mean, if we're in that kind of situation, we recognize that that's a bad sign, right? If that's going on, if the person doesn't even feel like they can turn their face toward you. God here is turning his face in love toward his people. There's no barrier. God's face is turned toward you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you. I think he's using the same image there. But it's his countenance that brings peace. Isn't it wonderful that the priests don't say, we're going to bless you with good crops. We're going to bless you with lots of money. We're going to bless you with, you know, lots of children. I mean, there were promises like that given toward God's people for if they followed after him. But when God says, let me distill what my blessing for my people is going to look like, it wasn't primarily any of those things. It was himself drawing near to them. And their peace is rooted in his countenance lifted up toward them. That's where peace ultimately comes from. The face of God shining upon you. That's what the people of Israel were intended to understand. That's what they often misunderstood or failed to see. They clung to all those physical blessings. Those are the things they wanted. When they didn't have those blessings, they would go look to other gods to get them those blessings. Failing to see that real peace was being this God's people. All blessings come from God. So far, we've had 2 points. Blessings come with expectations. These blessings come from God. And finally, these blessings come to us through Christ. Now this blessing that we read here in Numbers was intended for the people of Israel. I don't know if you've ever kind of stopped to think about this when we just kind of adopt something from the Old Testament and say, hey, let's take this thing that was given to a specific people at a specific time in history, and let's just take it out and put it at the end of our services. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think, you know, is that a fair thing for us to do? Is that a cultural appropriation? We're grabbing the blessings of the people of Israel and applying them to us. I think observant Jews would probably dislike the fact that we do that. You know, if I said to one of my children, you know, I love you, and some other child was just, you know, walking by, and they felt very deeply comforted. I want people to feel comforted, you know. I love a lot of kids. But it would be a little weird for some other child to take away the promise, the declaration of affection that I've given to this one, just apply it to themselves. Well, one of the themes of Paul that we've seen, particularly in Ephesians, is that in Christ, we have been made part of the people of Israel, part of the people of God. Remember, there's no longer Jew or Greek, but all are one in Christ. All the blessings of God's word are for those who are in Christ. We're told that all the blessings are yes and amen in Jesus. He has won for us every spiritual blessing. Through Jesus, we've been brought into the family of God, and that God who was once far off, once our enemy, has now become our blessing. God's countenance is lifted up toward you. If you've put your faith in Jesus, God looks at you with affection and love. Friends, that can be something we struggle to comprehend. We can be aware of our own failings, the ways we don't deserve that love of God. We can be aware of our own, you know, lack of loveliness. Sometimes we can be confused by the hard things that we're going through. We can say, you know, can God really be loving if I have to face this and this? May we be reminded as we look at these passages that in Christ, God's smile is toward us. His countenance is lifted up on us in blessing. Because of Christ, God himself will be your peace. Well, I've mentioned this story a couple of times, I believe. At one point during seminary, there was a class on evangelism that required me to go out and meet people and talk to them about Jesus. But I happened to take this class during COVID. And we weren't allowed to go and talk to people. So for that particular year, they said you were allowed to go online and chat with people online. It was kind of lame. But I do remember one particular experience where someone came up on the website that we were kind of part of and started, you know, talking. And it became very clear that they were an observant Jew, and they were an observant Jew who was angry. They were angry at Christians for trying to use their books. And I remember, I mean, it wasn't, you know, I didn't get all the tone that I would have gotten in person, but I feel like I got a decent amount of tone in type when the guy wrote, "Stop using our books. They aren't for you." So confrontational. So, you know, in my face, I'm like, oh. You know, apart from Christ, he's not wrong. If we didn't have Christ, it would be ridiculous for me to be picking up this ancient Jewish text and say, well, clearly that applies to me. No, it wouldn't. But in Christ, that blessing is for me. It is for you if you're trusting in Christ. Trust in him. See the gracious face of God. Find your peace in Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the kindness that you have shown us. We praise you for being a God who gives yourself for the good of your people. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as we face this week, as we face challenges and discouragements. Lord, would you please help us to find our peace not in our possessions, not in our human relationships, though many of those are a blessing. Lord, help us to find our peace in the promise of your favor. Lord, would you help us to cling to that promise? We thank you for our Savior Jesus, who has brought us into the family of God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.